Hi, dear movie breakers. We're still in Tallinn at the Black Nights Film Festival, and I'm now here with the second interview. I bring you Golshifteh Farahani. Hi, Golshifteh, she's here with me.
Hi.
So you have a film in the main competition of the festival. It's called Oh What Happy Days, but the days that this film deals with, both the past and the present, are not that happy. It's directed by Humayun Ghanizadeh. Now, you just had a film in Cannes, I know, Alpha by Julia Ducournau. I know you're right in the next one. Did you shoot those two films right after each other or back to back?
To be honest, I think it was some time back that we did this movie, I think maybe 2 or maybe even 3 years ago. To be honest, it was like a half a day work. It was not like it wasn't taking a lot of time, because I think when people are going to see the movie, they will realize why. And it's funny that I almost, sometimes I work so much that I almost forgot that what happened. I mean, not that I forgot, it was like, it was far away, the movie. And then now the movie is out again here and people are seeing it, which is amazing for me, because the experience of doing this movie, this was one of the most extraordinary experiences I've ever done. I remember the time that I was leaving the studio to go back home. I haven't felt like that in a very long time. The feeling inside me after giving this performance was, I cannot describe it. It felt like I was flying. It's a very specific type of experience where we are sitting in front of a monitor and we don't see any of the other actors. And it's just, we are reading something. I was reading the part with the director that was reading all the other parts with me. So it was like a live reading session, but we had to act at the same time. So it was something very new for me and it was remarkable.
So, as you already implied, the film is shot in a style of video call, which means that we have a frame that's cut into usually 4, sometimes 3 or 2 parts, where we see different actors and actresses performing, and you never really physically were in the same room with the others.
No, we weren't in the same room. We weren't even listening to each other. So it was Humayun that was reading all the other parts. So he read all the other parts for all the other actors. They started with Mr. Nasirian. He's an incredible actor. He's now 92 years old. So he was the first one. And then he recorded all the other actors. And at the end, we were just reading something without seeing anything with his voice. So all the reactions was to the text and his voice. It was no other images. But the extraordinary thing is that it works. Like, none of us saw each other. I was the last one to be recorded. But then when you put the images together, it feels like we're really on a call, where we weren't at all.
So was that strange for you, this experience? Did you hesitate to take this role because of the special circumstances?
Well, the thing is, because I have been avoiding doing movies in Farsi for the past, I would say, 15, 16 years until reading Lolita in Tehran, that was also in Tallinn Film Festival.
Last year.
And then I wasn't doing any movie in Farsi. So the reason that I wasn't just not doing this, I was hesitating, was that because I just didn't want to participate in the movies that are actually happening in Iran. After Lolita, this changed. So I would do it with pleasure. Something changed in that whole thing that I was doing. And also sometimes I think I wanted to establish myself as an international actor that is not necessarily related to Iran. So for the past 18 years, I did that. I did movies, Spanish Girl, A Girl in New Jersey. I did The Witch. I did like so many different nationalities and different parts that they weren't related, not even to the Middle East. So the reason of my hesitation was really that. And I knew that Humayun is an extraordinary director. I didn't know his work, but I knew his name already. So I must say, his perseverance, you know, he was insisting so much that I do this. And he said, you don't understand. And the reason that was really also pushing me was to be on the same frame with the actors in Iran, because we are somehow separated by this exile. Me and Shirin, we live outside of Iran when we cannot go back. The two women and the three other men, they all live in Iran. Managing to be in the same movie despite all the restrictions that the government is making for us, was it like an amazing achievement. So it was that, and he's insisting, like Humayun was really insisting, until they took the studio. They said, we are going to take the studio, no matter if you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. Everyone is there. We are all ready. It's your decision. And I went. And I think it was one of the best moments of my acting career, this experience.
Did you phone or Zoom call with the other actors and actresses during the production? Or did you just limit the interaction to the actual, like, did you not interact with them because you didn't want to break character, so to speak?
No, we didn't call at all. And also it was on technology wise, it was impossible to do that. So I couldn't have the call because the movie wasn't ready. So I couldn't have the call. It was like making an animation. Everything was supposed to be made afterwards. So it was the only chance was to do it through the voice of Humayun, listening to Humayun, and that he was reading all the other parts. And we were just looking at the camera. So we were playing with the camera.
So you never, even outside of shooting, called like Shireen or any of the other actors just to talk to them how they experience it?
Not at all. And the funny thing is, to be absolutely honest, I haven't even finished reading the script properly when I went to the shooting. So I was discovering the end of the story while acting it. And that was just, I think, that was one of the most extraordinary experiences of my entire life. That while acting, I was discovering what's happening to the story. So I was shocked why I was acting it. The end, the long monologue, I didn't know anything about the prison and everything until I read it while I was acting it. And we had very limited time. It was quite extraordinary, like an experience for an actor. I mean, that you act something that you have never read before. It's almost impossible to do it except this kind of platform, that you're actually reading something in front of the camera. So the monitor is like a teleprompt.
The story also engages with the past and the Iranian history. What's your personal connection to the subject and how did it influence your performance?
Oh, I have a lot of personal experience because my father and so many of his friends, they were all political opponent during the Shah and during this regime. So many things that happened to the father of this girl, that the character that I was playing, happened to so many of my uncles. So many, I mean, not biological uncles, but like moral and family, like soul family uncles. So this was very close to me because I'm coming from that political opposition background. That I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, they were executing my father's friends, and I was friend with their little daughter. So, and they were celebrating their death at our house. I remember all this.
You already said that this film changed your perception of or your feelings about acting in Farsi. Do you consider to do further projects with Iranian directors, if it should be possible in whatever constellation and in Farsi?
Well, believe it or not, that's all I want to do now. It happened with Lolita because that was the first movie I did after 15 years, 2003, I think it was, in Farsi, after so many movies that I rejected because it was happening in Farsi. And then this was the second one. Now it's all I want to do. It's like I'm dreaming of working with a young Iranian director, especially the ones that are living in Iran, the Generation Z, basically, not the ones that are in their 20s, between 20s and 30s, the ones that they were not even born when I left Iran. It's all I want to do. I think they are the smartest, most incredible directors, and their visions are beyond imagination. I think I'm going back to the roots somehow. After climbing all the summits and the mountains, I'm going back to my own country somehow, but not physically because I can't, but with my whole soul and existence.
This would have actually been like one of the next questions. If you ever have think how you experience your exile, do you experience it as a choice or as a forced situation? And do you wish to return to Iran if it should somehow be possible? Or are you basically, as you say, you're done with that country and you do not want to come back because that's the past?
Oh, God. I think no mother can say will never accept the lost child. If you lose a child, you're always searching for it. Exile is something it's like a part of you that is away from you. And there's this magnet that is constantly pulling you back and you cannot resist it. After 18 years, I can't resist it still. And it's a forced exile. I never had a choice. I had to leave because my life could be in danger. And it's not a choice, really, because the first moment that it's possible that I go back to Iran, I will be on the first plane going back. I miss Iran very much. I know that I've created a life here. Maybe I won't be able to live there all the time because it's not the country. It's like 18 years. I've been living almost half of my life outside of Iran, but it's my roots. It's everything.
You also spoke about how you worked hard to establish yourself as an international actor. How tricky did you, or how hard would you say is it, according to your experience, not to be typecast in the Iranian art house mode? Because there's this very specific mold that at least we critics see of the Iranian art house film that also is at almost every festival. But I could imagine that this is also entrapping if you want to do more, especially international projects.
Well, when you come to the international scene, the worst case scenario is that you become the archetype of the terrorist, archetype of all the trouble in the Middle East, or you become like an actor that is always related to the parts in the Middle East. So I absolutely didn't want that. And I was coming from even in Iran, I was doing many different projects, art house and also type of commercial cinema. I was doing both, also art house and commercial. I was doing that, like about Ellie, like these kind of movies that they are actually art house, but they make a very good box office. But it's very, especially in the Hollywood, in the beginning when I left in 2007, 2008, it wasn't like that. Hollywood wasn't as down as now. It was still very at the summit somehow. And I knew that I cannot stay in that environment where they only want to typecast me and related to my roots, because I was an actor. I could be anything. So I went back to Europe and I didn't accept all the projects that are related to the Middle East and Iran somehow. And that's how I managed to create a career, which was I wasn't somehow in a cage of where I was coming from, of that geographic place where I was coming from. And I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, your career is incredible, versatile. You're working in TV, you're working in cinema, you're working even in theater. You played Anna Karenina. So does it ever get too much? And how do you manage your enormous schedule?
Yeah, I think it has become a little bit too much. That's why I'm actually deciding to slow down a little bit. And I realized recently that I have been doing, I mean, a human doing rather than human being. And it's time for me to rest a little bit and be and live, because I think I haven't lived so much. I have been living for the service, really, of cinema. And this is my education. My father and my mother, they gave me this education that we are the soldiers. We are the slaves of cinema. We are the artists that we have to serve the society through art. I think now I've reached a point where I want to serve myself a little bit, because I haven't had time to do so.
That's a very interesting point, what you just said, that you've been brought up and educated to perceive cinema as something that's serving society. So would you say that your intention as an actress is also to have a political message, have a social message, and consciously change society to the better?
I think what you say is the outcome of the right deed and the right thought. If you have the right intention, because of that intention, whatever you do can actually change the society for the better, or can have a positive impact. But I'm not doing movies for that. I do the movies because of the things I believe in. I think this story needs to be told. Sometimes some stories I know that they need to be told in this world, and I need to be part of it. Sometimes I just go there to be help for that story to be told. Sometimes also you just entertain. Also, that is serving the society, but entertain in what way? In a poisonous way, like it's a McDonald's, or entertaining as a good food that is also entertaining? So we have this subtle, I have this subtle moral in my work that I am very, I stick to that. It's like my dignity. So I don't do any part in a movie I don't believe in the message. I need to be on the same track as the message of the movie. I will never appear in a movie that I don't, even if it's the biggest, the most enormous director in the world, Maybe the reason that most of my work, they were somehow engaged and they were somehow saying something, maybe political, maybe criticizing the society or poverty or so many things, or the women's right. It was because I was being loyal to what I was believing in. And then it happened to be like that.
With your wide range of film experience, do you have a favorite genre or a genre that you would still love to explore?
You know, I've done so much, almost 70 movies I've done. I must say no. The thing is, I'm searching for something that can challenge me and that can push me to things that I haven't experienced, which is very rare because I have done so much. For example, the movie of Humayun, this movie changed something. It was a new experience for me. I've never done that. I've never read a script while acting it. It was incredible experience. When you don't have the time to digest and think as if your mind is completely out of order, you cannot process and decide what you want to do for this scene because while you're reading it, it's happening. What can actually give me joy in this business is new experiences that I haven't done. And I've been searching for that. It's not like there's nothing that, like I would say, like big projects, Hollywood, money, none of that can trigger me to do something right now. It's just that very rare pieces of experience that I haven't lived yet.
You've been at Cannes, you've been at Locarno, you are now here at Talent, so many festivals, and there are of course many more where you just hop from one to the other. Do you have a favorite festival?
Every festival has its own texture, I would say. And I am excited to go to all of them, because there's always something new. For example, here in Estonia, in a country of 1,300,000 people that are having one of the most incredible festivals in the world. I mean, how incredible is that? How thankful we should be to the people that are making this happen, despite all the ugly things that are happening in the world, the war, the threats of outside world. Estonia is such a small little country with such huge power. I'm so excited. I would say, I can't say any festival is my favorite. Every festival is my favorite. And everywhere I go, I'm excited. And I can't wait to discover more the people, the culture. I love it.
You have today the premiere of Oh What Happy Days. Are you excited about it?
Yes, very much so, because I think this is probably one of the movies that is going to touch the heart of people in Iran the most. I am so looking forward to stand on that carpet with my compatriots from Iran that are actually living in Iran. It's very touching.
We have a lot talked about your plans for the future, but is there any specific project you have lined up you are allowed or would like to mention?
There are a few projects that are coming up. I don't even know if they're going to happen. Well, they're definitely going to happen. I don't know if I'm alive to do so, but because they're not announced yet, I'm not going to announce them, but I'm excited to actually participate in those projects. One of them is, so it's coming up. Let's see. I'm not going to say, but probably people will know.
We certainly keep an eye out. So, Oh What Happy Days is premiering today at Tallinn Black Nights Film Festival. And as soon as it comes to Germany, you read about it at Movie Break. Thank you so much, Gottschalk Farahami.
Thank you.